What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rovardo, rejoined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. Welcome back here to recap the 2024 NFL Draft. Super excited to do so and talk about all six of the picks that the New York Giants made. Of course, I gave you guys my recap, my reaction, my breakdown on the first three selections from the New York Giants, but they made three more today that we want to dive into. And of course, Alex is here to finally give you guys the long-awaited picks or reactions that he had to the Giants' first three picks of the draft. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and dive right into it. Before we do, make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a five-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? So great to have you back. And what are your thoughts on this New York Giants draft?
I'm doing good, man. And anybody out there as a kid knows how I'm feeling right now. It is absolutely brutal. I left on Thursday without one. I come back on Saturday with one, and I'll tell you what, I don't even know how I'm alive. A little bit tired would be an understatement, but I'll tell you what, this Giants draft, I've been following it, you know, I'm trying to touch base when I can about these players and get out a couple tweets and, you know, at least stay informed. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I said this before the draft happened, Malik Nabers, man, this is my first opportunity to really talk about this, so excuse me if you've heard this like a billion times already from everybody else, but I was always going to be happy getting Malik Nabers, guys. And I said it, look, I wanted a quarterback, but if you walk away with one of the best, if not the best playmaker in this draft class, especially at a position that has gone out of this world in price recently, you know, talking about guys getting 25, 30 million per season to play this position, Malik Nabers is a 20-year-old kid. This is not a 23-year-old. This is not a 24-year-old rookie. This is a 20-year-old kid who has the upside to be one of the best playmakers the game has to offer. I was trying to think of like a pro comp for him, and the best thing I could come up with like was like Stephon Diggs matched with CeeDee Lamb. Why? I think he has tremendous hands. He is so intuitive with the ball in his hands, just like CeeDee Lamb. But he's also an elite route runner, and he has game-changing breakaway speed. Anthony posted a touchdown today that was just absolutely phenomenal. You know, he takes basically a sit-down route in the middle of the field, hikes it across the field, you know, horizontally to the sideline, and then vertically bursts past six defenders. You don't find that type of talent growing on trees, my friends. You got to nurture that, grow that, and get a little lucky. The Giants decided, well, we're not going to reach for a guy like J.J. McCarthy, who ends up going to 11, goes to the Minnesota Vikings. They didn't want Michael Penix at 8, which I think is the right decision. They say, you know what? We didn't get Jake May, the one that we really wanted. We're going to just take the best playmaker available and keep plugging holes on this roster. And listen, the Giants were willing to give, excuse me, my cat misses me a lot, so he may end up in this episode some way, one way or another, jumping all over the desk here. But look, when you think about what the Giants did, they offered, and this is reported now, they offered a 2025 first rounder, their second round pick this year, and their first round pick this year for Drake May. They walked away with Malik Nabers and Tyler Newbin. And I'll tell you guys about Tyler in a minute here, but Nabers, consolation prize being one of the best, if not the best playmaker in this draft class, sign me up any given day for something like that. You know, if that's the alternative, sometimes you don't walk away with your quarterback and the other options aren't as good. You're getting a 20-year-old kid that should be a Giant for the next decade, unless his team screws him up or injury concerns hurt him. He's never had those in before, knock on wood. This guy should be a Giant for 10 years. That's how good he is. That's where the Giants need to say, okay, how do we maximize a talent like this? If Zach Wilson get 1,000 yards a season out of Garrett Wilson, Daniel Jones should be able to get 1,200 at least out of Malik Nabers. If he can't, that's a different story, another conversation for another day. But, you know, Anthony, Malik Nabers, he was one of your top players. You thought this guy would be a game changer for the Giants. I know a lot of people are saying to themselves, well, who's throwing on the ball? As I said, if Zach Wilson get 1,000 yards out of Garrett Wilson every single season, what Daniel Jones can do for Malik Nabers, it should be astronomically better. He is the perfect scheme fit for this Giants offense. He is a downfield weapon. He could take it to the house at any given point. He has that OBJ like game-changing factor where he could take a slant to the crib. You know, he has tremendous hands. He's going to develop and grow. He's physical. He's fast. His yards after the catch are some of the best in college football. I mean, he's coming from an offense that is what the Giants want their offense to be like: air raid, downfield, attack heavy, and really just explosive. He's an explosive playmaker, and the kid's confident as hell. You love that about receivers. Same thing with cornerbacks. You want dogs. You want alphas at receiver. He is an alpha. He is going to dominate as long as the ball is being given to him. You know, I'm excited to watch him ball out. Am I upset about not getting a quarterback? It is what it is. But, you know, getting Malik Nabers, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I love this pick. He is tremendous. Walking away with him, it's a win in my book any given day.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat as you, of course, as everybody already knows. And as you know yourself, Alex, I was saying it pretty much all offseason long. Early from the onset of this pre-draft process, I said I liked Malik Nabers more than Marvin Harrison Jr. I had him as my number one wide receiver in the draft class, and I thought that if he does fall to the New York Giants at number six, the only way they can pass up on him is if they're taking a quarterback, because he would be the best player available on the board. And he was, and the Giants got the best player available. And Malik Nabers is truly a game-changing talent. If you want some more of those advanced stats, of course, he had the 1,568 yards and 14 touchdowns last year, but if you want to take it a step further, 46% of his snaps out wide with 53% in the slot. The year prior, it was 60% out wide, so to say that he's a slot receiver is not accurate. He can move anywhere on the field and be a mismatch nightmare for any cornerback, which is very important to note. His average depth of target was 12 yards downfield. He had 10 contested catches on 22 contested targets, which is a 45% contested catch rate, which is very high for a wide receiver. And in fact, in 2022, it was even higher. He caught 13 of 21 contested targets for 61%. So again, not a small receiver, not undersized by any means. In fact, he's rather stocky. He's rather large, and he's got power, and he's got physicality and aggression at the catch point and after the catch. So this is a player who's not only going to make plays for you deep downfield, he was one of the best deep receiving wideouts in the country last year, but he's also going to make plays for you underneath, over the middle, in the intermediate portion. No matter where you're giving him the football, you can count on Malik Nabers to make plays. He will transform the New York Giants offense. Yes, it is a big question as to who's going to be throwing him the football. But one thing that I want to point out, we've heard a lot and we've seen a lot of comments, Alex, about next year's quarterback class is not going to be as good. The Giants are doomed because they didn't get a quarterback this year. I just went ahead and looked it up just for curiosity's sake. There are five quarterbacks in the consensus top 18 prospects for next year's draft. That's a lot. That is a ton of quarterbacks up at the top of the draft. So I think this narrative of it not being a good quarterback class next year, sure, maybe it doesn't end up being as good as this year's class. You don't know that it's going to be a bad class next year, which is a point that I keep making. Joe Burrow was not considered even a first-round pick, even a fifth-round pick the year prior to him going number one. Same story with Kyler Murray. Same story with Baker Mayfield. And hey, same story with J.J. McCarthy. We just saw it. So there are always quarterbacks that rise up the board in their last season in college. Even Josh Allen, he wasn't considered a first-round pick before his final collegiate season. So keep that in mind, guys. Don't buy into any narratives about a draft class that's over a year away. I think that there is a good chance that the Giants could still find their quarterback talent next year. And while we might be in purgatory for a year, if you really don't like Daniel Jones and don't believe in him and you think he's going to play poorly, hold on to hope for 2025, because this position will be, or this roster will be, even more well-positioned to draft a quarterback next year anyway than it was this year. So that's kind of my whole take on Malik Nabers. You guys know I love him, and then I just want to throw my two cents out there on any Giants fans who are really down on this team for not getting a quarterback this year. Listen, the board just didn't fall that way. Let's hope that next year, of those five guys that are projected first-round picks right now, hopefully at least three of them are, and hopefully we're able to get one of those guys if we want a quarterback next year. So that's going to wrap up my discussion on that, but I do want to move into round two, Alex, and get your take on Tyler Newbin, who should be the New York Giants' immediate starting free safety. He should be the guy who replaces Xavier McKinney and hopefully plays really well this year. Should end up playing probably 90% of the Giants' snaps as a rookie, coming off of a meniscus injury. He had surgery to clean it up this offseason, met with the New York Giants at the combine. They really liked his leadership. They go ahead and they draft him. He was the number one ranked safety, according to Pro Football Focus, in this year's class, and the number 31 overall player on their big board. Giants got him all the way at pick number 47. Incredible value there. How are you feeling about Tyler Newbin, the Giants' second round pick?
Well, you know, you kind of said it, right? You got to replace Xavier McKinney somehow. The Giants didn't really go for a boundary corner. We're going to talk about Andrew Phillips after this. He's more of a slot guy. But looking at Tyler Newbin, you know, what do you get from him? Well, he's versatile. He can help you in the box. He can help you at free safety. He can play strong. He can play all over the defense. Exactly. He's like a, if you carbon copied Xavier McKinney's usage, That's what you get from Tyler Newbin. Now, the torn meniscus, he rushed back from that injury to go to the combine, participated anyway. You're going to see his athletic scores are a little bit low, a lot of it low, mainly because of that injury. So I think the Giants saw through that, said, well, you know, we might be able to get extra value out of him because people may overlook or really look too much into the injury or too much into the athletic profile. The guy is rangy. He has enough speed and athleticism to get to the boundary. And the one thing that really stood out to me from a pure talent perspective, 47 might have been too high to get him. But because of his intangible traits, because he's a leader, he's a captain, he's a guy that's going to step in and fill the role of Xavier McKinney in terms of what he did to lead the Giants defense, communicate, be someone that holds it down, shows up every day and works hard. McKinney was that guy. Tyler Newbin is going to fill that role instantly. Day one, he's a captain level player in terms of his intangibles. He is a leader. He is a guy that's going to step in and help supplement the loss of McKinney in that role specifically. So you can't underestimate the value of that, because when your defense is struggling, your offense is struggling, you got to go out again. Someone's got to step up and make a play. By the way, speaking of making plays, the guy's a ball hawk, right? He had 2 pick sixes and 5 interceptions last season. He gave up only 90 yards in coverage. And by the way, he played mostly free safety. 768 snaps, only 90 yards were attributed to him specifically. now he's 22 years old to be a 23-year-old rookie. Nothing to write home about there. Good age, nothing crazy. His frame is good, 6'2", 210. Good range there because of that frame. 43 tackles, 9.4% missed tackle rate, obviously. Could clean that up a tiny bit, but for the most part, he got better every single season. His tackling grades are tremendous. His coverage grades are elite. This is a player who is battle-tested, right? That's the best way to say it. He has a four-year starter over the last 4 seasons, maybe even 3 years of starting material, 402 snaps back in 2020. He's a 5-year college player. But the guy's battle-tested. He comes with a stupendous amount of experience, you know? We're not talking about a guy that's going to just step in and, like, you know, he's going to need development. He's not going to know how to manage a defense or want to be a guy that's communicator. He's going to step in on day one and know how to operate at the capable and level that we need him to play at. So that's what I like about him. He's a plug-and-play starting free safety for us. We're not sitting here for the 5th-round project hoping to God he pans out. This is an instant-level starter that's going to be a good player, at the very least a great leader. If he can match that leadership with quality on the football field, you're going to walk away with a much cheaper version of Xavier McKinney. That's what the Giants are thinking right now. How can we minimize the amount of cost at free safety? Well, they said, let's not pay McKinney $17 million. Let's give this guy about $2 million per season. I think that's a good idea, because they reallocated that money towards the pass rush. Next year, they're going to have a lot more money to spend in free agency, and we'll see what happens with the Daniel Jones contract, but that's another conversation for another day. But, you know, Anthony Tyler Newbin, yeah, there was maybe some people that questioned it at first, but looking into it a little bit further, adding some more context with the injury and it kind of dragging his athletic scores down. Again, positional value, maybe you could make an argument cornerback would have been better, but I love his qualities as a leader. I think he's going to be a plug-and-play instant free safety for us, and God knows it was a need after letting McKinney walk.
No, listen, this is a great pick. If you're going by the value of the board, again, this is a guy who was supposed to be an expected almost first-round pick. Like, there were a lot of mock drafts that had him going late in the first round. I know he was often picked in mock drafts to the Packers. I think they were picking, like, 25 in the first round. That was where he was ultimately expected to go, if not very early on day 2. Giants took him all the way down at 47. That is tremendous value to have the top-ranked player at any position fall that far to you. And the New York Giants go ahead and they take Tyler Newbin. And like you said, leadership qualities, ball hawk ability. The guy was constantly on the ball, had a bunch of interceptions throughout his collegiate career. He's very good in coverage. He's an instinctual player. He has high football IQ. Yes, there are questions about his athleticism. There were even some questions about his athleticism before his combine testing. I know that his knee injury held him back in his athletic testing, but even before then there were some questions, but there is no question about this kid's ability, right? His ability to play football, his football IQ, and his ability to make plays on the ball. This kid does have a lot of talent. My only concern here is just that positional value thing that you mentioned. The Giants taking a safety in round 2. They've done that twice in the last 8 years. Both of those players moved on after their first contract. The Giants did not extend Landon Collins. They did not extend Xavier McKinney. Second round safeties end up getting paid well and end up getting paid elsewhere. And the New York Giants, again, drafting a second-round player to replace a second-round player that just got a big bag, How do we trust him to be the long-term answer here? I think there are question marks about taking a safety in the second round, even if he was the best player on the board. But there you go. BPA, that's the pick that you like. Tyler Newbin is a really good player, and I think he is going to have a very solid rookie season and be an instant high-quality starter for the Giants instantly over the course of his first few seasons in the NFL. But moving on to round three, Alex, I gave my take on Andrew Phillips last night. Physical slot cornerback, a guy who likes to hit, a guy who has a little bit of an undersized issue. He's not the biggest guy. That's why he's probably going to move inside. Honestly, if you read his scouting reports, Alex, pretty similar to what you heard about Darnay Holmes coming out of college. Physical, jumps onto screen passes, makes some big hits, has to move inside due to size limitations. Could be the Darnay Holmes replacement here. Could be the Giants starter in the nickel cornerback spot, I would assume. It's going to be a competition between him and Cordell Flott, but I did see Joe Shane after the draft today mention Flott probably going to go back to competing outside while Andrew Phillips competes on the nickel. So I do think he's going to be the Giants starting and primary nickel cornerback, and I think that he's got a lot of physicality. And also, I don't know if you saw this, but there were a lot of reports that came out after the Giants drafted him about how well he interviewed and how confident he was and how much of a leadership player he proved to be in all of those pre-draft interviews, which again, some stuff that you really like to hear considering the Giants lost their biggest leaders in free agency, of course, with Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney. So adding in another high-quality player and high-quality character in Andrew Phillips, I think is an exciting proposition.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is another battle-tested cornerback. The Giants wanted guys who could step in and start immediately. Andrew Phillips, Tyler Newbin, step the hell up because you guys are expected to make an impact. Why? Both of them have 4 years of experience. Phillips has started the last two seasons, 13 games in 2022, 12 games last year, 9 games in 2021. This is a guy who has a tremendous amount of experience. You'll see. This is a player that is, some people would say, polarizing at times. People can pick on him, but then he has amazing plays. And the truth is he's a smart, smart player. He is a very good zone coverage corner. This is going to be a situation where he is a very scheme specific, in my opinion. I don't think he's a great man corner. I think he's going to play interior. He can help support the run. You know, this is a player who had 46 tackles this past season, gave up 434 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 6 pass breakups. So you'll see that people pick on him, but he had some really, really good games. He gets some good opponents. And listen, you know, if you're looking at the Giants right now, they need a smart player, a guy who could start immediately. I think he probably wins that interior, slot corner job because the competition there is just rather thin. Darnay Holmes, you know, his weaknesses and strengths. Cordell Flott's a little bit wiry for me. I don't necessarily love him inside because I think his tackling is very suspect. And every time he does get tackled, he ends up getting hurt because of that frame. So I do like him on the boundary a little bit more twitchy. I think he'll develop and he might even win that CB2 job. So I do like that better for him. But Phillips is physical. He's smart, good in zone coverage. He can fill the spaces. I do think he has some nice developmental upside. Jerome Henderson being one of the best DB coaches. If they can get him to the next level, he could be our guy in the slot for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons, you know. He has that level of talent, but he's just a little bit volatile with his performance. The thing is, like, if you're the Giants, you're looking at Andrew Phillips and saying, okay, well, he spent a lot of time outside, so moving him inside should be a little bit better for him. But at the same time, because he's volatile, that means you're seeing good and bad. If the Giants can just get more good than bad, you know he's capable of putting together strong performances, coach him up, give him experience. Giants aren't winning a Super Bowl next year. He'll get a year under his belt, and then you have yourself a good player for the long term. I don't know if the Giants win a Super Bowl. That would be a really great situation, but I highly doubt they're going to it just because they have a lot of young talent and a little bit of lack of depth. But, you know, a lot of upside to be had. I'm excited about Andrew Phillips. Definitely a little bit of a surprise. There was a run of corners in the second round that I thought the Giants just missed out on. I think if they had their choice, they would have went with Kool-Aid or Cooper DeJean. In fact, I probably would have traded up for Cooper DeJean, but Eagles being a little bit on top of their game as they usually are, you know, jump us and end up with him at 40th overall, I believe. So, you know, am I upset about Andrew Phillips? Not at all. We needed a slot corner like this. But, you know, we'll have to see how it is. He's a little bit volatile. Hopefully they can, you know, round him out and become a little bit more of a consistent player.
Yeah, that's the hope. And listen, small sample size for Andrew Phillips in terms of his ability to play at the next level. We haven't really seen him do everything that he's probably capable of. And I think that he's a player who's going to need some time to develop. He's probably going to be an instant starter. Expect some growing pains early in his career. But you like the potential. You like his traits and tools, and hope that in this zone-heavy defense that Shane Bowen wants to run, that relies on physicality from the slot cornerback position, well, sounds like Andrew Phillips is a perfect fit as a zone cover corner who tackles well from the nickel. So I think he's got potential to make an impact here, but I do want to move on to the fourth round pick that the New York Giants made, Alex. Theo Johnson out of Penn State, tight end with very similar athletic build and profile to Darren Waller. We know that Darren Waller's future hangs in the balance. He's still mulling retirement. Seems to be some buzz that he's leaning towards retiring. So likely without Darren Waller in 2024, who is going to start at tight end for the New York Giants? Likely Daniel Bellinger, maybe Theo Johnson out of Penn State. Very athletic tight end. I really like the potential of this kid. I also like the fact that I think the middle rounds, like round four-ish, that's when you want to take some chances on tight ends. A lot of those guys end up panning out. They don't go drafted very early. Like, tight ends are not usually early selections unless you're a generational guy with that label, like Brock Bowers at the first round. But usually you're talking day two, day three. Those are the majority of the starting tight ends in the NFL. And I got to say, Theo Johnson, you can definitely see the starting upside on this kid. A lot of athleticism. He's a pretty good blocker as well. Plays with some physicality in that facet of the game. Not only as a run blocker, but I saw some snaps. I combed through his all 22 earlier today. I saw some pretty nice pass protecting snaps as well. The kid is just a good player. You know, young guy, a lot of potential. 6'6", 4.57 speed, something like that. Just a very quick athlete for a guy his size. I think that there is a lot to like with Theo Johnson. Alex, I know that this is a pick that you really do like, so I'm excited to hear your take on Theo Johnson.
Massive Pat Freiermuth vibes from Theo Johnson. Both Penn State guys. Pat Freiermuth is a guy that Theo Johnson kind of modeled his game after watching him at Penn State. But look, the way that I look at Theo Johnson, 6'6". You know, what is it, 6'6", 259, was the second-rated athletic score, according to Next Gen Stats, at the Combine, was the fourth-highest-ranked tight end at the Combine, ran a 4.5, running a 4.57 at that size, pretty cool. The Giants went after a player, and they said to themselves, well, you know, we have good coaching at tight end. You know, we need a guy that can catch passes, maybe have the developmental traits to be amazing. Their tight end coach right now says something about, you know, he likened him to George Kittle in a way. He's not like game breaking in terms of his ability to separate. He's a little bit bulky, not a little, he's a big dude, but contested catches, sign him the hell up. Red zone, sign him the hell up. This guy had 7 touchdowns last year for Penn State, you know, through the air. Only 341 yards, but 7 touchdowns and nearly a 76% reception rate. He can line up in line. Most of his snaps came in line, 48.1%. He lined up at 38.1% in the slot, though. He could be like a jumbo slot option for the Giants. I do like him a lot. I think that he has more room to grow as a blocker because of that size. He has poor technique a lot of the times. Coach him up, get him into some drills that will really refine his weaknesses there. But Theo Johnson has the qualities to be a very nice NFL player. I think it'll take him a year or two to get it under his belt, to really get the experience necessary to make that transition at a high level. But I'm going to be straight with you. With his frame, I'm getting maybe not Pat Freiermuth vibes, maybe Jimmy Graham vibes. With that level of size, his red zone qualities, like, kind of screams Jimmy Graham, like jump ball, basketball level etiquette. So maybe that's my best comp for him, Jimmy Graham. He's kind of bulky with the way he runs routes. You kind of watch Jimmy Graham, like, he's a big freaking dude. He runs like the ground shaking beneath him. Same thing with Theo Johnson. Not that agility kind of tight end, excuse me. But the guy can make plays, and I'm excited to see him kind of get involved in this offense.
So am I, and here's another stat from Pro Football Focus on Theo Johnson that I think will get Giants fans excited. Since 2022, Johnson generated a Big Ten best 146.6 passer rating when targeted. Over the past two seasons, he amassed 669 receiving yards and 11 touchdowns over 2 years. So a really nice, productive player over the final 2 years of his collegiate career. And again, you gotta love the athletic traits and tools here. The upside is ginormous with Theo Johnson. And I love that his playing style is so similar to, like you mentioned, Jimmy Graham. Like I mentioned, Darren Waller, one of these guys that's very athletic, This is a scheme fit for the New York Giants. They built their scheme last season to feature an athletic tight end, somebody who can get up the seam and bring a lot of speed to the lineup. They lost that when Darren Waller was injured. Again, we kind of talked about this, if you remember, Alex, all the way like right before week one last season. We went through that conversation because Waller was a late addition to the injury report ahead of week one. And I mentioned, well, the Giants just did all of the scheming all offseason to make Darren Waller their focal point. Now they're opening up the year without him. Their playbook is probably going to be pretty heavily decimated going into the start of the season. Now I don't think they have to feel that way because, again, Theo Johnson, not saying that he's the same level of quality or talent as a Darren Waller, an established veteran in the NFL, but because of his playing style, you can ask him to do the same things that Darren Waller was asked to do last year and expect him to be in the right spot at the right time if he needs to be because of his athletic similarities. You can't ask the same of a guy like Daniel Bellinger. The playing style is completely different. The athletic profile is completely different. But again, with Theo Johnson, having that similar playing style to Darren Waller makes him a perfect plug and play into the Giants offense, can run that scheme or be a focal point in the scheme if the Giants want to really prioritize Theo Johnson and make him the starter this upcoming season. And again, with Waller mulling retirement, there is a very good chance that Theo Johnson is the New York Giants starting tight end from day one. It's just going to come down to a camp battle basically between he and Bellinger. But I'm going to go in the favor early here of Theo Johnson because of what I mentioned there. The scheme was built for a specific tight end with a specific skill profile, and that profile was built for Darren Waller, and now it's going to be a more similar player here with Theo Johnson than Daniel Bellinger. I think that he's going to plug and play and fit quite seamlessly into the New York Giants offensive system, and I think that he's a really exciting player to get happy about with the New York Giants fourth round selection. But moving on to round five, Alex, another player that I know you've been praising and you really like the selection here, Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue. Wide receiver converted to being a running back. Here's what PFF had to say about the pick. They gave it a very good grade, and they said Tracy is a good athlete, recorded a 4.48 40-yard dash, 40-inch vertical jump. That's really nice. Should add some explosiveness to a backfield led by Devin Singletary. Despite being a six-year college player, he only has one season at running back, but he forced 46 missed tackles on only 114 carries in 2023. And I went through a few of his games on All 22. Guy was breaking tackles left and right, has a lot of explosiveness, accelerates rather quickly, and just shrugs people off. You could really see the upside with Tyrone Tracy as well, potentially as a change of pace back for Devin Singletary in the New York Giants backfield. Alex, tell me some more about why you really like this Tyrone Tracy pick in round five.
Well, Tyrone Tracy, if I'm not going to get Malachi Corley, this is the guy I'd want instead. Why? He's a converted wide receiver to running back, which you always joke about Malachi Corley being basically a running back. Well, Tyrone Tracy is literally that. He was a receiver, now he's a running back. And I'll tell you what, you want to know who had the most yards after contact in college football at the running back position last year? Tyrone Tracy. The guy's a freaking tank. 4.4, I think what he had, 4.44 yards after contact last season. Dude, I mean, come on. The guy's a monster. You watch it. Look at his frame. The guy is built out. He's 24 years old. Don't give two rat's asses about that age. Why? Because we all know running back shelf lives are short anyway. You might as well get four or five good years out of a sixth-round pick in Tyrone Tracy, or a fifth-rounder, rather. I like this pick. And with the new kickoff rules, he's going to be an asset there. Punt returns, kick returns, give him the ball, let him work. Also, out of the backfield, Devin Singletary, more of that one cut, get up the field, north-south runner. You can utilize this guy on third downs because he's a ridiculous receiver. He had zero drops in college football for Purdue last season. He can be a real asset in the run game. He is good after contact. Again, like, you know, the way I see it is, couldn't get Malachi Corley, so this guy's a really good receiver. And I couldn't get Trey Benson, who I love for his contact balance, and this guy's equally as impressive in that regard. So I get the best of both worlds, really, in a player like this who can catch passes at a high level, really solid, underrated receiver at the running back position, and he's capable of breaking a lot of tackles and making things happen after the catch. So I'm happy with this. I love this. This is like the best of both guys that I loved mashed into one player. Again, he's a fifth-round pick for a reason because he's a little bit older, coming from Purdue. But still, the guy is a fit for a need that we had. We needed more explosive playmaking, better kick returns, punt returns, whatever. Well, we have Gunnar Olszewski. He'll probably be the punt returner. But him, I imagine Tracy will be the kick returner. And also, you know, he can compete for that secondary spot. Eric Gray, better bring your best ball, buddy, because this guy is coming for your job. And I love me some freaking competition. We've been giving out jobs too often to guys that haven't earned anything in this league. And, you know, I need some competition. Evan Neal, Jermaine Illuminor, get ready for that fight. You know what I mean? Eric Gray and Tracy, let's get ready to ball. You know, let's see who wins this job. So I'm excited. Making an impact will be an imperative thing for Tracy early on in his career, especially because his age. The Giants will probably want to get him involved early and often, and there are certainly ways to do just that.
Yeah, one of the things that I like, though, you do mention his age, which is a cause for concern. It's one of the reasons that he fell all the way to the fifth round. But with Tyrone Tracy, his mileage is still far lower than most running backs. Like, we always talk about running backs at that age is when oftentimes they start to decline because they've racked up so much mileage. The guy's only taken 115 carries in his collegiate career because he's a converted wide receiver to running back. So you don't have as much concern, or at least I don't, in his longevity. I still think that there is time for Tyrone to develop and become a contributor at the NFL level. So very happy with this selection. I do think that this is a good value grab. If you guys ask me, were there other players on the board that I might have preferred? Probably, but Tyrone Tracy there in the fifth round, his tackle breaking ability, his ability to make an impact as a receiving back, I think is very important for the New York Giants. Third and long situations, Devin Singletary, he's okay as a receiver, he's not great, but Tyrone Tracy as a converted wide receiver to running back, you have to expect that he can be almost your, if you want to throw back to other Giants players, Shane Vereen, Dion Lewis, one of those guys that the Giants had during the Eli Manning era. If you want to go even further back, Ahmad Bradshaw was pretty good as a receiving back as well. Having somebody who could spell out of the backfield and be a good receiver for you, always important, makes a quarterback's life a whole lot easier, giving them a reliable check down option. And I think the Tyrone Tracy on third downs in this committee that the Giants are now making could be a really, really solid player for them and a contributor early on. And one last thing on Tracy, he kind of got the wheels turning in my head, Alex, mentioning that he could be an impact player on kickoffs. Well, new kickoff rules, it's a totally different game now on the kickoffs. You need guys who can break tackles. 46 missed tackles on 114 carries tells me that I like Tyrone Tracy's ability to play as one of the Giants' return specialists. I think that he could be a really, really intriguing piece to attempt to develop into a long-term kick returner for the New York Giants. So that's exciting to me. I think that there's definitely potential here with Tyrone Tracy, Purdue running back. Good selection for the New York Giants in the fifth round. But going into round six, Alex, I'm going to let you take the reins on this one because I still don't know how to pronounce this guy's last name. First name, Darius, out of UCLA, a linebacker in the sixth round, final pick of the draft for the New York Giants. Take it away on him, and please tell me how to pronounce his last name.
Dude, I have no idea. Darius Masau. So I've done a little bit of research on this player, and I'm going to be quite honest with you. I love this pick. This is a really good pick, and I'll tell you why. He is, the best way to say this is he is the same exact type of player as Micah McFadden. Super, super similar. And he is a guy that players, coaches love. Why? Dude has an insane motor. He is always after the football. The guy is relentless. And the Giants want guys that are high effort, right? You want guys that are always fighting, always looking for the ball. To me, this is, if Micah McFadden is our LB2, like, I think true and tried, like, he has earned that, the right to be that player. Yes, he misses some tackles every now and then overshooting, but it's because he's super aggressive, and when he does blow up those plays in the backfield, we're all clapping him behind our screens. You know what I mean? Like, we all know that if he times those a little bit better, the guy's going to be one of the best, you know, gap shooting linebackers in the game. That's what makes him so exciting to watch. The same thing goes for Darius Masau. He is extremely similar in that regard. He loves to shoot gaps. He loves to be aggressive. Now, he's not going to help you a lot in coverage. Same with McFadden, by the way. He's not going to do much there, but he'll rack up tackles for you. He'll shoot the gaps in the run game. He'll be aggressive, and he's a really smart player. He just knows where to be. He can be his basic coverage qualities. There are limitations to his game in coverage. He'll probably never be that good at all, if even competent. But you're playing him to be a run-stopping guy, aggressive, you know, maybe blitz a couple of times. He, to me, is Micah McFadden's backup. I think Micah McFadden's play style is very specific, and I think Masau is actually the perfect backup for him because if he were to go down, if he were to suffer some sort of injury, they can integrate him into this system to be the exact style of player, so they don't necessarily have to skip a beat in that regard. You're not going to draft Bobby Okereke's backup. He's a one of a kind. He's an all-around stud linebacker. So I think it's an interesting thing that they said, well, we like Micah McFadden enough that he could take over that Mike role and play more of that traditional Okereke role if we had to. But Masao can be the backup to McFadden and rush the passer from the linebacker spot, be the type of player that shoots the gaps and takes advantage of that kind of mental processing and also play recognition. So yes, I do really like this pick as a smart player. I think that if you're looking at his stats, 52 tackles last year, 14% missed tackle rate, makes sense. He gave up 2 touchdowns in coverage, had an interception and a pass breakup. Couple penalties, but overall his tackling numbers are very, very impressive. And I think the Giants brought him in for a top 30 visit, if I'm not mistaken. So clearly that was something to, keep an eye on. But yeah, like he's not the rangiest. Like I'm telling you, this guy is Micah McFadden 2.0. Like Micah McFadden was a 5th round pick. This guy is so similar to his play style.
Yeah, and to kind of add on to what you're saying with similarities in his play style, here's what PFF had to say about him, and I'm sure once I say this, Alex, you'll realize why I'm bringing this up. PFF said he's a well-rounded linebacker. He racked up 137 run stops since 2019 between Hawaii and UCLA, in addition to providing value in pressure packages with 107 total pressures in that time. So yes, I agree with you. I think that this is a similar playing style to Micah McFadden. Keep in mind, guys, Micah McFadden, if I'm not mistaken, should be entering a contract year, I believe. So maybe expiring. Maybe he's got 2 years. Okay, maybe he's got 2 years left on his deal then. Yeah, it should be his third season. It's 2 years left on his deal, but it's always smart to get a guy. You know, you've got a linebacker who, in Micah McFadden, was a 5th-round pick, who's developed into a quality starter. But you know his career, contract, the expiration is on the horizon, so bring in another guy to develop behind him, be his backup, and maybe potentially take over when he leaves in free agency if he does. I think this is a smart strategy for the New York Giants, but ultimately, Darius Mwasu, I'm sorry, I'm bad with names, but I think that he's going to be a core special teamer for the New York Giants. One of the things that I read about him, he's never missed a game. He's always on the field, and he's always ready to go, and he does have that high motor. So I don't think that necessarily he's going to be a starter, but the Giants did need depth defensively, needed depth in their linebacker core behind Bobby Okereke and Micah McFadden. I couldn't tell you who was potentially on the roster behind those guys. Now we know. We've got somebody who could potentially be one of those backups and definitely contribute on special teams. So I like the pick. I'm okay with it. Again, there were other players on the board that I preferred. I'm not going to give a glowing review of this one, but there is potential here for this guy to develop into a quality backup and special teamer. And again, Tyrone Tracy, think that was a good selection. Really like the Theo Johnson one. That's probably my favorite of day 3, although I do see Tyrone Tracy having potential to surpass that expectation. And then on day 2, I guess I do like the Tyler Newbin pick based on positional value. Listen, Alex, my final takeaway from this whole draft for the New York Giants, this process that I'll kind of leave you with before we wrap up, the Giants are a better football team right now than they were 3 days ago. You know, overall, throughout this draft process, they improved multiple levels of their team. They've got more dynamic on offense with an insane game-changing receiving threat plus a dynamic receiving back out of the backfield. They got way better in the secondary with Tyler Newbin and Andrew Phillips. Upgrades at 2 positions in their secondary, and they added a little bit of depth elsewhere, potentially with Theo Johnson, who could be a starter, and of course with Darius out of UCLA in the 6th round. Overall, this roster is now better than it was, and I think that the Giants are better positioned to hopefully win some more games next season, and then we'll see what happens next offseason if they do want to move on from Daniel Jones and go after one of the quarterbacks projected to be a first-round pick in 2025. There are some interesting names. You've got Quinn Ewers, you've got Cam Ward, you've got Carson Beck, Drew Allar, Shedeur Sanders, 5 quarterbacks who could potentially be first-round picks next year. So if you do want to look ahead early and say, hey, can the Giants get their future franchise quarterback next offseason? Possibly. It is in the realm of possibility. So don't lose hope yet, Giants fans. If you really are down on this draft, don't be, because this is a good draft class. The Giants did add a lot of talent to this roster. They should be a better football team next year and a better position team to add a quarterback in 2025, because now this quarterback won't be stepping in without a playmaker and without a good running back in the backfield. There's going to be talent on this roster next year, so they're more prepared to actually bring in a rookie quarterback and give him some success in 2025. But 2024 should be a more fun season to watch. The New York Giants are a better football team. That's kind of my final takeaway. Alex, I guess we'll do some grades now. If you want to do a grade on the draft class, and then I'll give mine. I'm curious to know kind of your overall thoughts on this draft class and what it means for the New York Giants as they enter the 2024 season.
Oh man, well, my grade on this draft class is tough, man. I think I'd give it a B+. And the reason I'll give it a B+ is because I think that we really needed a quarterback, and the fact that we didn't get one is disappointing. But I do respect Joe Shane for saying, we're not going to just risk it all on a quarterback. We wanted the guy that we wanted. We wanted the player that we thought could be great. And he said, and basically what he said was, he didn't think J.J. McCarthy was going to be great. He didn't think that this or that. The reason next year's quarterback class is so underwhelming compared to this one is because there's no Caleb Williams, right? Everybody else is a shot in the dark, right? J.J. McCarthy, nobody freaking knows. Drake May, nobody freaking knows. Jaden Daniels, he's got a lot of talent. Love the guy, but nobody freaking knows. It's tough. You know what I mean? Like, next year, somebody will emerge. Somebody will become a solid player, and the Giants will try to get him or whatever. I don't know. It's just another problem that we have to add onto the list of things that we'll figure out another day. But in the meantime, we walk away with an elite receiver, A+ in my book. Tyler Newbin, I'll give it an A-. I think that I would have preferred to move up and get a cornerback, but you know, I'm not upset by any means walking away with him. Andrew Phillips, I think I'll give it a B. I think it was maybe he's not my favorite prospect in the world. I think that we'll see what happens. He's a little volatile. He's a great interview, a great study, like a great guy, a great player in his intangibles. But I am a little bit concerned about his lack of experience inside. I am a little bit concerned about the volatility in his game. Like, he will give up a lot of completions, but then he'll have a pass break. You know what I mean? So, like, I need to see more to convince that he's a great player. I'll give him the slack for sure. You know, I've been wrong about players before. I'm just giving it a B for now. That could be – he could totally outplay that grade. I think it's a fair, like, whatever, like, B grade. You know, looking over to Theo Johnson – I'll give that an A-, I'd say. Really, really good upside there. Incredible size. Plenty of developmental traits. Love that. The Giants did a similar thing with Bellinger in the fourth round a couple years back. Went for the developmental traits. They got a really good blocker and a solid player with upside out of him. You know, I'll say Tyrone Tracy. I give that an A-. I think he's going to be a really good specific player for us. And then, of course, you know, Masao, who, you know, it's a six-round player. Like, how do you really put a grade on it? Like, give him a B+, whatever. You just don't know what his role is going to be. So, you know, overall, I think collectively it's a B+, just because we missed out on the quarterback. But a lot of those guys I gave A-minuses to. So it's around that range. But for the most part, you know, I'm not upset at all. We drafted for some needs. But look, sometimes BPA and needs match. Malik Nabers, that was a situation where we had a big need and he was the best player on the board. And, you know, those two things just married. And that's a beautiful thing when your needs and BPA are exactly the same at the right time. I think that for Tyler Newbin, safety was a need. You could argue he was BPA after all of those, maybe BPA in the secondary specifically, because all those cornerbacks went off the board about six or seven picks earlier than the Giants probably thought they would. So I think they went for the BPA at that moment on the secondary on their board and marriaged it with, this is a need for us. And then the rest of it was like, let's go get guys with some traits that we can develop and potentially become starters and help out on special teams in the meantime. So yeah, I think that kind of rounds it out. But yes, to your point about quarterbacks, wait and see, man. That's all we can do now. There's nothing we can do but wait and see. Last year, I mean, Joe Burrow was a fifth round pick before he was a first rounder. You know what I mean? Jaden Daniels was a fifth round pick, sixth round pick before he became a first rounder. Guys emerge. Surprising players outplay their expectations all the time. So yes, would I love Drake May? Sure. But you know, the world doesn't do you any favors. And as a Giants fan, God knows we've been fighting those demons for the better part of 5 years. So we'll continue the good fight. And hopefully one day we'll figure it out. And maybe Daniel Jones has surprised us and put together a good season with good support. That's always something that we hope for our talent. So we'll keep rooting for Daniel Jones. But, you know, really just want everyone to put their best foot forward and take a big step forward this upcoming season.
Right. You know, we hope that Daniel Jones turns into a Hall of Famer. We would love that to be the case. Do we think that's going to be the case? Are we confident in that? No, we're in agreement that we are not confident and we don't think that he's going to turn around and have this phenomenal 2024 season, which is why we're saying keep an eye on some of these 2025 guys. You never know who's going to rise up the boards. Every year, at least one player shoots up the draft boards and becomes an intriguing prospect and far exceeds the expectations during their collegiate season and goes on to become a highly touted prospect in the following draft. That's going to happen this year. You know, at least one of these quarterbacks playing in college football this season is going to shoot up the boards and be a first-round pick. It's just going to be whether or not the New York Giants are positioned to get him next year and whether or not they want to. But hopefully Daniel Jones goes out this year and proves to everybody that the Giants shouldn't be drafting a quarterback. I hope that that's the case, though that's going to be difficult. He does have an uphill battle coming off of injury and having such a lofty contract attached to the New York Giants books. But it's going to be interesting. Like I said, the New York Giants are a better team. I think they're going to win more games next season. And man, I am just so excited to watch Malik Nabers. I mean, I've had a draft crush on this guy all throughout the pre-draft process. I'm very happy he actually wound up with the New York Giants. Like, one of my favorite prospects in the draft actually ended up with Big Blue, and that's really exciting for me. I love his personality off the field. I think he's fun. He's young. He's got a personality, which is great. And also on the field, you just love to watch the kid play. Bulldozer after the catch. Such a great route runner and separator. And he goes up there and he makes some Randy Moss grabs, if you want to call them such a thing. Just a great player. So much fun to watch, and I'm happy with this draft. So I will give it a B. I'm in the same range as you, Alex. I think that there were some positions where the Giants maybe could have gone after higher graded players on the board, but they drafted for needs, and they needed to. This New York Giants team needed starters at certain key positions, so they went and they drafted starters at certain key positions, which was very important for them. So I'm happy with it. I give it a B, and I'm looking forward to this upcoming 2024 season and looking forward to covering it for you all right here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all our social media channels at Fireside Giants. But without further ado, we'll catch you all in the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.